call to order the regularly scheduled meeting in the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zmikas?
Here.
Ms. Reinchel?
Here.
Mr. Stenrock?
Here.
Mr. Yenzel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has anybody signed up for public communication? So now I'll move to student recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Madam Vice President, and members of the board, unfortunately, our student of the month for the Rotary Club cannot be here this evening because he is participating in a track meet. But would like to honor him nonetheless. And based upon his previous performance in track, I have an idea he's doing quite well tonight. But I would like to honor Madison Plains High School senior Ben Stoden as the student of the month for Madison Plains High School for the month of May. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Ben has a 3.98 grade point average and he is currently ranked 13th in his class. His favorite course is painting. Ben is accomplished both as a student and as an athlete. Some of the highlights of his accomplishments are as follows. He has played football throughout all 4 years of high school, receiving first team, all-conference, and district honorable mention as a senior. He played basketball for 3 years in high school, receiving the Positive Attitude Award as a junior. Ben has run track during all 4 years of high school. He has been part of school record-setting relay teams in the 4x100-meter relay and the 4x200-meter relay. This spring, he broke the school record in the 100-meter dash. Ben ran indoor track this year as well, where he broke numerous school records and won the MVP award. He has also participated in powerlifting. With regard to academics and co-curricular activities, Ben has been a member of the FFA throughout all 4 years of high school. He has earned the 3.5 academic award in his first 3 years of school by carrying a grade point average of 3.5 or better, and he is on track to earn this his senior year as well. Ben is a 3-year member of National Honor Society, and he will graduate with a Diploma of Honors from Madison Plains High School this spring. Ben was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires him, and he chose MPHS art teacher Mr. Rob Carroll. Ben said, "He inspires us to use our imaginations, be creative, and be ourselves. I really enjoyed art because of him." Mr. Carroll said of Ben, "I have been fortunate to have had Ben in art classes since junior high. He stood out right away from his peers as a young person who both loves art and is determined to put in the time and effort to master his craft. Ben has grown his creativity throughout his high school art courses. In particular, Ben has excelled in his advanced painting class this year, creating wonderful compositions that demonstrate his attention to detail and his talent. I am extremely grateful to have had the opportunity to help Ben grow as an artist and to have had the privilege to inspire this young man. I know he will carry his creativity with him in all of his future endeavors. After graduation, Ben plans to attend Wright State University and major in forensic biology. Ben is the son of Kelly and Brian Stoden." And so we are very proud of Ben. He has attained quite a record of accomplishment in his time here at Madison Plains High School. We are very proud of him and certainly wish him all the best. I look forward to being able to honor him on Thursday at the Rotary Club luncheon in London, and we will celebrate him there as well. Mr. President, that's all I have for student achievement.
Thank you. Now we'll turn to employee recognition.
And Mr. President, I would like to recognize cafeteria worker and aide, Miss Mary Wilson. Mary started subbing for the district in 2007, became part-time in 2013, and was hired full-time in 2014. She made herself indispensable. Mary's job consists of getting breakfast in the classroom bags ready for the following day and delivering them. She retrieves the leftovers after breakfast and begins preparing for the next day. When lunch begins, she is in the cafeteria for her aid portion of her job. She assists the children with getting their milk open and opening bags or peeling lids, etc. She always has a smile on her face, and she is always there for the children when they need her to listen. The students love Mary, and it shows when you walk into the cafeteria and see the various artwork and notes of admiration for her. Her attendance is extraordinary. She only misses work if she absolutely has to. She is truly making a big impact in the lives of these students every day, and she is appreciated. So we are very, very pleased that Mary is on our team, and we thank her for all the outstanding work and dedication that she has shown to this district. We certainly do appreciate Mary, and we celebrate her.
Thank you. Now we'll move to board work session. I was going to just bring up a scheduling. I have a conflict for work on the 20th. June 20th is our next board meeting. I just wanted to put it out there. If the 20 or the 13th would work for anybody, that'd be the Tuesday before.
I will be on vacation.
Would you guys be all right if we met without the treasurer here? Is that okay? Is that all right with you?
Yes, I don't know if we have to do a president pro tem for Chad to run a meeting, the dry center run a meeting. I'll have to look into it.
Okay. Well, at least we'll tentatively plan on having the meeting on the 13th, get that out, publicly announce it, all that kind of stuff. Thank you, guys. Anything else with the board work session? Now we'll move to Section G, Department Report, or excuse me, Section F, Approval of Board Minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the April 18th, 2023 regular meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Let's now move to Section G, Department Reports.
Forgive me. At this time, I would like to ask Madison Plains Junior High and High School Principal, Mr. Kyle Huffman, to please come to the podium. Mr. Huffman has a presentation for us on the work that he has been leading his staff in at the junior high and high school this year. This is very good work, and there's actually an item on the agenda this evening with regard to this. We are asking the board to approve a contract with high schools that work and making schools work so that they can continue with the professional development that they have been doing. So this is very good stuff. Mr. Huffman, thank you for being here this evening. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. What you're going to see is a presentation that we gave to the staff back at, you can see in February. So high schools that work and middle schools that work has now been combined into just schools that work. And the goal is to, it's a network of schools in Ohio aimed at improving instructional planning and then after that to boost student achievement in the schools. And with this network, we have to have a site review done every so many years. And this past year, we had a site review where personnel from other schools in the network came and they observed our classes and our teachers here at Madison Plains, and they gave us some feedback. So this is some of the feedback that we received. The plan that I'm showing you was developed from the feedback that we received from our site review. And what we have told the staff is if we want something different, we have to do something different. And things to celebrate from this review that we had from high schools that work this past fall was that, and we surveyed teachers and students, and both groups said that they've seen an improvement in bullying, that students are paying attention in class, that teachers are meeting students where they are academically, and our junior high exhibited high depth of knowledge questioning and probing, that students were productive and respectful, that they could sense that we do have a caring staff at the 712 building, And multiple times our FFA and our civics class were mentioned as being very positive for our 712 building. Some things that they identified that we need to look at, again, bullying, it's a two-way street. We make some improvements, but there's still areas that we need to improve. They noticed cell phones in class tended to be a distraction when they were walking around the building. They know that we've had high staff turnover the past couple of years. Consistency overall, implementation of building expectations and procedures, and consistent staffing, both teachers and administrators. Making the best use of class time, in other words, teaching bell to bell, so they shouldn't have the 15 minutes at the end of class just to sit there and not have anything to do. They should be teaching during the whole time. Grading policy, there's a misconception about when students receive zeros. They can receive zeros for assignments, but they have to have a sitting, which means they have to have the opportunity to sit down and work with that teacher on an assignment that they have not turned in yet. Other areas, equal period and study skills need procedures that are the same in each classroom. So that's some of the feedback we got from the site review. So what we decided as a staff as our next step, that there's three big areas of need. We can't address everything at once. We looked at the big areas that we figured that we could get the biggest bang for our buck moving forward. And what we identified is school culture was the first one. And we broke that down into two. We looked at an academics focus group and a social focus group. And you'll see that the purpose of the first group is to assess instructional best practices, strengthen instructional practices in the school, and recommend actions to enhance student learning and increase student success. So that's what that focus group is going to study. The second for the social is how to foster a positive, collaborative work environment to strengthen a cohesive mindset for the 712 school culture, identify and implement ways to improve the socio-emotional culture of the school. For example, how can we get students involved? How do we increase school pride? And how do we incorporate social and emotional learning standards and become a trauma-informed school? Because one thing we've learned from COVID is there are a lot of students who have had trauma in their lives, and that's affected how they learn. And we need to start looking at how do we better serve those groups of students. Second area is high expectations. So the purpose is to develop a plan to support consistent practices and advance the current policies approved by the board. We want to evaluate our course offerings, our current grading policy, look at our curriculum maps, and look for opportunities for stretch and rigor. So how do we grow all students in our building? So that's what that group is looking at. Our last group is our PBIS, which is our positive behavior interventions and supports. And how do we develop an effective and proactive framework for improving safety, social competence, and academic achievement for all students? And so they're going to work on developing consistent PBIS practices across the 712 grade levels. Now, one of the things that this group has worked on is issuing green and gold cards. And students have to meet certain criteria to get that green and gold card every quarter. And the reward today was we had about, 200 kids go to the Columbus Zoo, 712, because they had earned that green and gold card from last 9 weeks. Because of their positive behavior, they get tickets, and they also are able, again, they have no missing assignments, their attendance is good, their academics are good, and if they get this card, we're trying to reward that behavior, the behavior we want to see our students demonstrate every day. So what we did as a staff then, every teacher has to be part of one of these groups. There's no options. And they decide which group they want to be part of, and they decide that they're going to start working on one focus area per focus group. Now, we have met, since we gave this presentation on the workday in March, we will meet tomorrow, which will be our last time we will meet in the focus groups for this school year. And the goal tomorrow is they're going to finish looking at the feedback they've received from the other focus groups on what their goal is to implement next year. And then once they've gone through that process and that's been finalized, I'd be more than happy to share that with the board so you can see what the focus groups are going to work on as we go into the 23-24 school year. And again, here's the timeline. So right now, Thursdays after school, we are meeting, like I said, tomorrow to finalize the feedback, review everything, critique it. And then our goal is, and we are very thankful in my building that the board approved the 2-hour delayed starts for next year. because one of the hardest things in my building is finding that common time to get together and to do the work. And so those 2-hour delayed starts are going to give us that opportunity to meet with 1 hour in these focus groups to continue fine-tuning what our goals are for improving the 712 building. And then that second hour, we're going to be meeting in grade level teams where we're going to be looking at specific students. How do we scaffold them? What interventions do we need to provide to them so we don't have kids falling through the cracks as we go through the school year? So that this process that we are doing does align with our improvement plan for the district. We have used the book study that the BLT did to get our TBTs aligned and up and running, looking at data and giving the BLT information data-wise on how our students are performing in the various departments. And again, the goal is to get things moving in the right direction so that we can again focus on data and boosting student achievement in the 712 building. And what I've got here is a couple of pictures from 2 of the groups from March. After that meeting in March, we even had someone from Making Schools Work who has come and observed, and we were so impressed with that staff. They were all engaged, they were all collaborating, they were all putting out ideas on things they would like to see done in those areas, and I've never been prouder of a staff in my 18 years as a principal than what I saw that 712 group do on that March 17th day, and they've kept it going. They have buy-in, they want to see change, they're taking it by the horns, and they're taking ownership of making things better at the 712 building. I believe that is the last slide that I have. So, and again, once we have finalized what our 4 goals are for those focus groups, I am more than happy to come back to the board and share that with you so you know what we're doing in the 712 building.
Good. Any questions for Mr. Hoffman?
No.
All right. Mr. Hoffman, thank you so much. We appreciate Absolutely. You being here this evening, and thank you for the good work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Mr. President, we have one more department report this evening, and so I would like to ask Mrs. Angie Valerie to come forward, and she will provide an update on transportation. Mrs. Valerie, thank you for being here this evening. We certainly do appreciate it, and thank you for everything that you were doing.
Thank you. As you know, my name is Angie Valerie. I'm the Transportation Supervisor at Madison Plains. I've been in this role for a little over a year now. In the past year, I've worked many hours to teach myself the ins and outs of the district and the transportation department. This was not only important for myself, but for the Madison Plains students, community, family, and staff. To say this year has been a challenging one is an understatement. But those who know me best know that I'm always up for a challenge. On top of learning this role, I was also attempting to obtain my Class B CDL. Once I obtained that in December, I continued my dedication not only to being a transportation supervisor, but to also driving a bus daily in the morning and in the afternoon. Just last week, I was able to get off of a daily bus route, and now I'm able to focus more on being a transportation supervisor again. I have learned firsthand that being a bus driver requires a lot of responsibility, patience, and love for the students. I have grown a deep respect for all the bus drivers and their dedication to safely transporting students to and from school, athletic events, and field trips. I would like all of our bus drivers to know that their hard work and dedication do not go unnoticed and that I truly appreciate them. Driving around on my own has opened my eyes to the daily highs and lows that the bus drivers experience. What they deal with can be both very rewarding and very heartbreaking. School bus drivers are the first and the last person from Madison Plains that our students see every day. Even though many students don't realize it, that often the good morning and have a nice day from their driver is a very important part of their day. Transporting 60 plus students of all ages on one bus is challenging. Our bus drivers are truly wonderful and they don't hear that enough. As we all know, there is a national bus shortage in the United States, and unfortunately our school has also been experiencing that. The good news is that we just hired 2 new drivers, and we have 2 drivers back from medical leave. Hopefully this will help us to keep routes running normally and possibly adding new routes in the next school year. On another note, keeping our students safe and to and from school is our top priority. Unfortunately, in the last 2 months, we have had two incidents occur where we let our families and the community down. Both the drivers involved have 20 plus years of experience in driving a school bus. They are remorseful that this happened, not only to the students involved, but also to the community and to Madison Plains. Following these events, I immediately called a mandatory meeting with everyone in the transportation department, including Mr. Eisler. We discussed what had happened and how we can prevent it from happening in the future. Our OBI also conducted a refresher course in regards to pre- and post-trip inspections for all of the bus drivers as well. I want to assure the community that Mr. Eisler, myself, and the bus drivers work together and have adopted new procedures for pre- and post-trips after every route or event that the bus drivers transport students. We will now implement and require that drivers sweep their buses after every morning and afternoon route. Drivers are required to do this in the morning before they leave the school campus. This assures they are getting in every seat underneath and checking underneath for students. They're required to check their buses twice before they leave campus as well as when they get home. Drivers are also required to radio in every afternoon after their route to assure us that they have checked every seat twice. If they cannot reach me by radio, they are required to call or text me. Sometimes my radio is spotty with service. Drivers are required to document on their pre- and post-trip checklist that they have checked each seat after every route driven. They are also required to sign the pre- and post-trip checklist and turn them in to me daily. If these procedures are not followed, there will be disciplinary action taken. Since this happened, I reached out to a vendor to have and have received a quote for the No Child Left Behind alarm to be installed in our school buses. This requires a driver to walk the length of the school bus before they depart. An alarm will sound until they push the deactivation button in the back of the bus. I have also worked with the administration and made changes as to when our absent calls go out each morning. We were able to stagger the time so that if one family is receiving multiple calls for multiple students at once, they won't miss the call. I'm regretful and sorry for the past events, and although it is inexcusable, people are not perfect. Fortunately, we can learn from these mistakes and become stronger individuals and leaders. We will use these practices and methods of documentation and communication to improve and do better in the remainder of the school year and the years that follow. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and I look forward to our continued communication and success together as we move into the next school year.
Thank you, Mrs. Valerie. We appreciate it. Are there any questions for Mrs. Valerie? All right. Thank you again, Mrs. Valerie. We appreciate everything that you are doing, and just thank you for being here this evening to provide a report for us on the Transportation Department.
Move to Section H, Superintendent Committee Reports.
And Mr. Mason, I have two committees to report out on here this evening, the first of which is our Wellness Committee. We have not had a meeting since the last board meeting, but the Wellness Committee's next meeting is coming up this Thursday, May 18th at 3:15 p.m. That will be here in the district meeting room. The other committee that I wanted to report out on is the Policy Committee meeting. They met yesterday. The committee continues its discussions regarding the library and books. We discussed some materials that Mrs. Fletcher had sent and discussed things like the age of the collection, circulation numbers, and how our library interacts with the statewide library system. Mrs. Fletcher is going to gather some more information to help us learn a little bit more about what types of books are being checked out and utilized by students from the library. We have not set a date for our next policy committee meeting. In terms of superintendent committee reports, that's all I have for this evening.
Move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. First thing to point out there, that approval of financial items consent should be down at the whole. So my presentations come first typically and then the approval. So apologize for that, but it shouldn't be a big deal here. My April financial statements, hopefully you had a chance to review those. I'll just briefly point out where we ended up for the month. Currently, we were projected in this most recent financial report, monthly financial report, to end the fiscal year with $5,816,353. This is $613,360 more than what we had expected based on our November forecast. That's really all I want to point out here, because you'll see how that number is more aligned. Even though this is based on November, it's been adjusted slightly based on our upcoming May forecast presentation that you'll see. I think maybe we found the bad mic. So unless there are any questions, I don't want to focus too much on the monthly financial report, because we'll get right into the May spring forecast update, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Next is the five-year forecast presentation for the spring update. This is required, one of the two requirements, one in November for our mandatory filing, and then a mandatory update that needs to be filed by May 31st. So this is that May 31st update. And I will, as I've done, apologize in advance, because this is not the most interesting information in the world, and there are 23 pages, and I will hit the highlights as quickly as I can. And if there are any questions, please stop me, because if you don't stop me, I'll likely motor through as quick as possible. So without ignoring anything important. But here we go. This is the May five-year forecast update. It's important to remember, let me adjust my view here real quick, the purpose of the forecast. The purpose of the forecast is the Ohio Department of Education's purpose and objective for the five-year forecast are to engage the local Board of Education and the community in the long-range planning and discussions of financial issues facing the district. Also, to serve as a basis for determining the school district's ability to sign the certificate required by Ohio Revised Code 5705-412, commonly known as the 412 certificate. This is what's attached to our negotiating agreements and similar items that state that we can basically afford through the life of the forecast based on our revenues, contracts of that degree. Also, to provide a method for the Department of Education and Auditor of State to identify school districts with potential financial problems. That actually affected Madison Plains one time since I was here, when the general fund balance was driven down to such a degree that we were looking at a negative balance. And I believe the second or third year of the forecast, which caused the auditor of state to check in on us, and we had a performance audit as a result, and did very well with that performance audit, by the way. But that is the purpose, to trigger those type of items. We are not in that situation any longer, and as you will see as we go through the forecast, we're much better off than we were a few years ago. The forecast methodology. This forecast is prepared based upon historical trends and current factors. This information is then extrapolated into estimates for subsequent years. The forecast variables can change multiple times throughout the fiscal year, and while cash flow monitoring helps to identify unexpected variances, no process is guaranteed. The intent to provide the district's financial trend over time and a roadmap for decisions aimed at encouraging financial sustainability and stability. So this is a tool for the district and the board to use looking forward regarding large decisions that the board might want to make. As I said, we were in a much better place than we were a few years ago. This graph represents that. The black columns are our total revenue. The gray columns are our total expenditures. We want to see the black column above the gray columns. The only year in this graph that that's not true is in 2022, and that was because, if you remember, we did not take our property tax advances that year. That's when we started, changed our process. So you see 2023, and moving forward, though, we have a positive balance moving forward in the forecast, except for the very, very end, and I'll get to that. And we end with $7,839,769 projected in 2027. That is a revenue surplus in every year of the forecast, except for the last year, in which we deficit spend currently projected to a degree of $239,487. So not much at all. In fiscal year 2023, a revenue surplus is expected.
This means that expenditures are expected to be less than revenue by $1,910,340 in fiscal year 23. By the last year of the forecast, fiscal year 2027, the district is expected to have a revenue shortfall, where expenditures are projected to be greater than revenue by $239,487. The district would need to cut its fiscal year 2027 projected expenses by 1.29% in order to balance its budget without additional revenue. The district's cash balance is positive at year end of fiscal year 2023 and is projected to improve by fiscal year 2027. A worsening cash balance can erode the district's financial stability over time. The forecast includes the Fair School Funding Plan adopted by Ohio starting in fiscal year 2022. The district expects a combined impact of $403,920 in fiscal year 2023. This forecast includes a CFO-adjusted trend calculation of the Fair School Funding Plan impact using current information. As information changes, the estimates will be updated. The district is considered a guarantee district in fiscal year 2023. A detailed state funding supplement to this forecast has been prepared and should be reviewed and considered as part of the forecast assumptions. That detailed state funding supplement is also attached to the agenda, and so you can look at that at some point if you like. Regarding revenue, this is our revenues overview. You see our makeup there of our revenue, the largest portions being real estate, state funding, and income tax. You see our revenue history. Important to point out there in 2022, as a result of not taking advances, also as a result of the implementation of the Fair School Funding Plan, no longer receiving open enrollment revenue in, you see a dip in the revenue there in 2022. But then you see it resume normal growth thereafter. That dip is reflected there in 2022 as an 18.49% decrease, followed by a 20.85% increase. Total revenue, and so I want to point out here before we get into some of these statements regarding historical trends, a lot of what we talked about, either not taking the advances or the implementation of the Fair School Funding Plan, has affected our historical five-year trend. So you'll see a difference between our historical trends and our projected trends throughout the forecast. So total revenue increased 0.67% or $102,308 annually during the past five-year period, and it's projected to increase 4.8% or $848,552 annually through fiscal year 2027. Real estate has the most projected average annual variance compared to the historical average at $952,994. Again, that's due to that no longer taking advances affecting that historical average. General property tax real estate, we talked about that already, not taking those advances. You see that in 2022. You also see over there on the left that real estate makes up 28.6% of our revenue in 2022. And 35.1% is projected to make up our revenue in 2027. This is an example or a graph, or not a, a chart, of our values, tax rates, and gross collections. You see that we are currently at an effective tax rate for 2023 of 21.2 mils, and we look to get closer to that 20 mil floor by 2026 there, with the tax year 2026. So it's possible we could reach that 20 mil floor by then, which could potentially generate additional revenue for the district at that point. Real estate property tax revenue accounts for 28.55% of total revenue. Class 1 or residential agricultural taxes make up approximately 91.64% of the real estate property tax revenue. One thing that's not written there is that 91% is high. Of that 91% residential and agriculture, 90% of that 91% is agriculture. So we're a very high agricultural district here. The Class 1 tax rate is 22.31 mils in tax year 2022. The projections reflect an average gross collection rate of 99.6% annually through tax year 2026. That's a very good collection rate. The revenue change at an average annual historical rate of minus 8.43%, again, those skewed historical averages, and is projected to change at an average annual rate of 7.65% through fiscal year 2027. Public utility personal property, that's revenue generated from public utility personal property valuations, and the voted full tax rate is used in those calculations. That makes up 9.8% of our revenue in 2022, 9.3% in 2027. And you see the values and value changes here. The public utility personal property tax revenue is generated from personal property tax values, additions, and depreciation reported by the utility companies. This category makes up 9.7% of the revenue. The property is taxed at the full voted tax rate, which in tax year 2022 is 45.95 mils. The forecast is modeling an average gross collection rate of 98.39%. The revenue changed historically at an average annual dollar amount of $204,736 and is projected to change at an average annual dollar amount of $64,868 through fiscal year 2027. So this is like your DP&L utility infrastructure.
Would be the biggest thing. We see a lot of that. We saw a big increase from Franklin County not too many years ago with that.
Income tax, revenue collected from an income tax earmarked specifically to support schools with a voter-approved tax by residents of the school district. You see in 2022 it makes up 18.8% of our revenue and grows to 21% in 2027. You remember income tax can grow as wages increase. The district maintained one income tax levy in fiscal year 2022. The average annual dollar change in total income tax revenue is forecasted to be $240,865 through fiscal year 2027. Income tax revenue is projected to account for 21% of total district revenue in 2027. So you see we've seen some significant growth there, above average growth, I would say, in our income tax. So that has helped our district out quite a bit. Unrestricted grants and aid. These are funds received through the state foundation program with no restriction. You see there that drop from 2021 to 2022. That's the implementation of the Fair School Funding Plan. So that open enrollment revenue coming in is no longer a part of our revenue. And it's offset by no open enrollment revenue going out. So that's why the net impact was favorable to Madison Plains. So that's that negative 12.14% drop there. Beginning in fiscal year 2022, Ohio adopted the Fair School Funding Plan. Funding is driven by a base cost methodology that incorporates the four components identified as necessary to the education process. The base cost is currently calculated for 2 years using a statewide average from historical actual data. For Madison Plains Local School District, the calculated base cost total is $8,451,456 in fiscal year 2023. The state share of the calculated base cost total is $1,783,672, or $1,612 per pupil. For reference, the Fair School Funding Plan change to district educated enrollment could be lower than the district's historical formula funded enrollment, but also potentially reduces tuition costs. In fiscal year 2021, the district had approximately $1,478,874 in possible tuition cost reductions. These reductions will be reflected in the purchases services expenditure note. So that's where I say we had a drop in revenue, but we also had an offsetting drop in expenditures. Restricted grants and aid. These are funds received through the state foundation program that are restricted for specific purposes. Restricted aid is the portion of state per pupil funding that must be classified as restricted use. Historically, the district's restricted state aid changed annually on average by $74,137 and is projected to change annually on average by a negative $29,964. Restricted funds represent 2.75% of total revenue. Starting in fiscal year 2022, the district's success and wellness funding is considered restricted. If you remember, those were the 467 fund funds. Those are now part of the general fund. So while it's good that they're part of the general fund, they are still restricted. And so that's why you see that increase there from 21 to 22 in the amount of restricted fundings we're receiving. The slight decrease over time is due to the Fair School Funding Plan and the full implementation of that plan over time. It starts to modify those restricted amounts over time a little bit. The state's share of this funding is recorded as restricted is $105,816. So that correlates to that big increase there for the fair, for the student wellness and success funds. As a reminder, we use those funds in our district for things like the school nurse is what we use to pay the school nurse. This funding has implications on general fund expenditures, and it's certain spending now occurring in the fund external to the general fund could shift to the general fund, which it did. The expenditures in this forecast are adjusted to reflect this change. Property tax allocation, these include funds received for tangible personal property tax reimbursement, electric deregulation, and for us, almost entirely homestead and rollback. Property tax allocation primarily consists of reimbursement from the state of Ohio for local taxpayer credits or reductions. The state reduces the local taxpayer's bill with a 10% rollback credit and 2.5% owner-occupied rollback credit, plus a homestead credit for qualifying taxpayers. In fiscal year 2023, approximately 11% local residential property taxes will be reimbursed by the state in the form of rollback credits, and approximately 1.7% will be reimbursed in the form of qualifying homestead exemption credits. All other operating revenues. All other operating revenues, this is where you see that tuition. So the tuition no longer coming in. This is where the open enrollment revenue resides. So you see that big drop from $1,081,582 to $495,713. That's a change in the formula funding. Other revenue includes tuition received by the district for non-resident students educated by the district. It also includes interest income, payments in lieu of taxes, and miscellaneous revenue. The historical average annual change was -$78,000. Again, that's skewed. That's a skewed historical average. The projected average annual change is $19,193 through fiscal year 2027. The Fair School funding plan includes per pupil funding for any open enrollment in students the district is educated. This revenue, if any, was recorded in other revenue prior to fiscal year 2022. Fiscal year 2022 and beyond will not include any open enrollment in revenue. The district posted revenue code 1227 open enrollment in revenue of $484,801 in fiscal year 2021. So that's why you see that big drop. I think it's important to note there too, we, being a guarantee district, we would not receive any additional funding based on increased open enrollment unless we were to receive approximately, I believe it's over 200 new students. So it would take quite a bit right now to get us off of that guarantee. Total other financing sources includes proceeds from sales of notes, emergency loans, advancements, transfers in, and all other financing sources. You see here that's where we were doing our short-term borrowing of $1 million per year, which we no longer have to do, thankfully, due to our improved financial position. We also used to have advances in there in 2022. If you remember, that was the food service fund that needed an advance in 2021 and then repaid that advance in 2022. Happy to report that the food service fund is doing much better now and is in the black. So I don't look to need to advance them, I don't think, at this time, any funds. All right, that's revenues. I'll take a quick pause here. Does anybody have any questions regarding district revenue? Okay, moving on to expenditures. You see this is our expenditure makeup, largely made up of salaries and benefits, followed by purchase services, which are salary-like services typically in a large part. Our year-over-year changes, you see here where we had reductions in expenditures due to budget reduction plans, due to staffing decreases, staffing adjustments, and then we start to, with the new negotiated agreements kicking in and raises kicking in there for those negotiated agreements, you see some increases start to come into play. Total expenditures decreased 0.01% or $1,608 annually during the past five-year period and is projected to increase 5.62% or $816,354 annually through fiscal year 2027. Salaries has the largest projected average annual variance compared to the historical average at $386,738. The overall, again, these expenditure historical percentages are going to be skewed based on that open enrollment out no longer being in there as well. So you're going to see things skewed there as well in historical averages. Personnel services or salaries and wages, you see make up 55.3% of our total expenditures in 2022 and only 54.5% in 2027. That doesn't mean that wage salaries costs are going down. What you'll see in the next slide as we move down the page is benefits are outpacing salaries. So benefits increases outpace salaries, and so the benefits start making up a larger part of the overall piece of the pie, salaries a little bit less. Salaries represent 55.29% of total expenditures, an increase at a historical average annual rate of 0.47% or $36,910. This category of expenditure is projected to grow at an annual average rate of 4.54% or $423,648 through fiscal year 2027. The projected average annual rate of change is 4.07% more than the 5-year historical annual average. Anybody have any questions on salaries? Okay. Employee benefits, retirement for all employees, workers' comp, early retirement incentives, Medicare, unemployment, pickup on pickup, and all health-related insurances. So you see, this is what I was talking about. In 2022, it makes up 28.2% of our overall percentage, but that grows to 30.5% based on projections. If you recall, like for our health insurance, we use a 10% increase in our projections, hoping that we come in under that. I'm happy to say for this year, we just got our rate for 1/1/24. It looks like insurance rates, or health insurance rates, are going to go up about 7.8% right now. So a little high than what we've had, but not the 12% that we've had at some point in years past, which was not good at all. So much, much better. We're still on average about a 5-6% increase is our historical average, I would say, for health insurance. So we're still within line there. Benefits represent 28.24% of total expenditures, an increase at a historical average rate of 5.98%. This category of expenditure is projected to grow at an annual average rate of 6.43% through fiscal year 2027. The projected average annual rate of change is 0.44% more than the 5-year historical average. Purchase services. This is where, if you remember, those open enrollment out payments reside. So the $1 million that we had going out for students attending elsewhere, Madison Plains students attending elsewhere, that's where you see that drop from $2.9 million to $1.6 million, or 41.98%. Purchase services represents 11.62% of total expenditures and decreased at a historical average annual rate of 6.93% negative. This category of expenditure is projected to grow at an annual average rate of 1.79% through fiscal year 2027. The Fair School Funding Plan funds only district-educated enrollment, thereby reducing tuition costs for open enrollment out. Community schools, STEM, and scholarships starting in fiscal year 2022. In fiscal year 2021, these costs totaled $1,478,874. So that's that large drop that we saw. The graph to the left reflects the difference between past formula ADM prior to fiscal year 2022 compared to actual district educated. So you see there in fiscal year 22, there is no formula ADM. It's just district educated. That's how we're funded now. Supplies and materials. I don't need to explain what those are, but you see here supplies and materials represents 3.13% of total expenditures and decrease at a historical average rate of negative 5.07%. This category of expenditure is projected to grow at an annual average rate of 5.03% through fiscal year 2027. The projected average annual rate of change is 10.1% more than the 5-year historical average. If you remember, we had a budget reduction plan in place. We kind of decreased our supply spending there for a couple years, and then we restored those to levels that were there previously. So that's why you see that big increase. for where we had reduced supply spending and then brought them back up to normal levels, and now they're more normalized. So, capital outlay. Traditionally, we have not had many capital outlay expenditures. That was another thing that we eliminated as a result of the budget reduction plan. We put that burden primarily on the PI fund. Recently, we have had some capital outlay expenditures. If you recall, one of the expenditures that we were projecting to have was going to be a vehicle for our school resource officer. However, thankfully, that was able to be provided through the county sheriff's department. Capital outlay represents 0% of total expenditures and decreased at a historical average annual amount of $4,952. This category of expenditures is projected to grow at an average annual rate of $3,690 through fiscal year 2027. The projected average annual change is more than the five-year historical average. One thing I will point out for the board, just to keep in mind, the board may want to consider restoring some of that capital outlay expenditures out of the general fund in future years, as the PI fund remains at a constant rate and amount, and expenditures out of that fund go up, continue to rise. As a point of example, buses used to cost approximately $90,000. They now cost around $110,000. And that's the fund we use to purchase buses, which doesn't leave as much left over for the maintaining of the facilities here in the district, especially as the facilities continue to decline at a more rapid rate. So that's something we will want to consider. Also, to be able to properly support all of the technology we've installed here in the district recently through the benefit of the ESSER dollars, in order to continue to maintain those rotations, we're going to want to consider in the future how the board wants to pay for that through general fund dollars or continue through PI funds. Intergovernmental and in debt, nothing there. You see the history where we were doing that borrowing. That's the repayment of those short-term borrowing funds. Won't spend any time there. We have no debt here in the district. Other objects. Other objects represents 1.57% of total expenditures and decrease at an historical average annual rate of 2.7%. This category of expenditure is projected to grow at an annual average rate of 2.87% through fiscal year 2027. The projected average annual rate of change is 5.57% more than the five-year historical average. So that is other. We do a pretty good job of classifying all of our expenditures within the categories they belong. These are ones, auditor and treasurer fees, audit expenses, things like that. Total other financing uses. You see you had an associated cost there with the repayment of short-term borrowing in 2019 that we no longer have. The other costs there represent the transfers out. So where we had the $20,000 transferred out to the athletic fund for the FFA farm rent, that's where that shows up, as well as any other transfers made to any other funds due to, for instance, overspending out of a grant fund where we need to transfer funds from the general fund to a grant fund to bring that fund back to zero. That's where you see those kind of expenses. All right, and then we see the entire forecast in its entirety. You saw a preview of it, a shortened version of it when we started the presentation. The important thing, I think, is to look at line 6.01. That is the excess of revenue over under expenditures. You see we have a revenue surplus in fiscal year 23 projected of $1,910,340. And fiscal year 24, surplus of $1,132,203. 25, fiscal year 25, $606,321. And then fiscal year 26, still a surplus of $98,969, with deficit spending kicking in fiscal year 2027 to the tune of $239,487, which, if you recall, would require around a 1% reduction in expenditures to balance that out. So overall, a very healthy financial forecast that we can take in to the next fiscal year. We look to end the fiscal year 2023 with $5.5 million, and that grows to $7.1 million in 2027 based on current projections. And if there aren't any questions, that will conclude, wait for it, my five-year
forecast.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-4 and 5.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Thank the board for listening to my presentation this evening.
We appreciate the presentation and all the hard work you do. Next, we'll move to Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, I have a few items for you this evening in terms of discussion items. The first of which is with regard to facilities. Mr. Mustine and I are doing some research on some items with regard to how we move forward with our facilities needs. I believe once we are at a place here, hopefully relatively soon, where we have the information and we feel comfortable with it, we would like to be able to, in all likelihood, I think we probably will ask the board for a special board meeting to come together and discuss the information that we have and be able to have a conversation as a board in terms of how we choose to move forward as a district with regard to facilities. There are just some things that we, in our researching and conversations, we're still gathering a little bit of information and waiting on some things to see where they stand. We just don't want to waste the board's time with that at this point. Once we have those answers, then we will come back to you and let you know. But I did want to put it on your radar that we probably will be asking for a special meeting to discuss this information sometime in early June. Okay, so that is the hope. With regard to the Office of Civil Rights football stadium project, the ADA ramp, the concrete is currently poured. The company has been waiting the last 2 weeks that it's necessary for the concrete to cure. They anticipate that later this week the railings will be added, the fences will be repaired, and the soil that had been moved to be able to get the grade of the concrete to where it needs to be will be restored. And then next week they are anticipating that some asphalt will be poured as well to be able to make the current walkway completely flush with the top of the concrete. So we anticipate will be done. So hopefully by the end of next week, we are hopeful that this project will be completely finished. With regard to auditorium seating, we have been doing a little bit of work. If you've been in the auditorium lately, you are well aware of the fact that the seats are in very, very bad shape. We have been soliciting some quotes to get that addressed. So we are in the process of doing that. We should be getting, there's actually one of the groups that we have been working with has actually suggested doing a couple of other things as well in the project. So we're looking to get some information on that, but I will be presenting that, I will keep you updated on that, but we are certainly looking to do something with our auditorium. And then finally, the tolls report is attached to this month's agenda in board docs. So for those who are interested in reading that, that is there for you. Mr. President, in terms of discussion items, that is all I have for the evening.
Thank you. Now I'll move to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Nothing for policy this evening, sir.
Section L, Business.
And so a number of business items before the board this evening. Sometimes what I will say is that the items are generally routine. Not all of the items tonight are routine. There is the approval of the agreement with the Making Schools That Work Foundation, certainly not routine. And then we are asking the board, as part of the research that we are doing, there is a need, in order to keep processes moving, there is a need to do an environmental study at a spot where, if we were to build a new building, where that may be placed. So we're asking the board to approve that particular agreement. And then there is an agreement for our district's financial statements. There is a need to change the vendor that we use. Mr. Mustine can speak to that. But in terms of the consent items, those are the items before the board this evening.
Yeah, just to follow up with that, the agreement for the financial statement compilation was due to our previous vendor not being able to take on the work due to staffing reductions that they had experienced. So we have three-year contracts typically for that service. This was the end of their three-year contract, and they were not able to renew that three-year contract with us. Fortunately for us, Julian Grube is very well known, very well renowned in the area of financial statement compilation, and comes in at a cheaper price than what we were paying with the previous vendor. So it worked out.
And Mr. President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, I do want to be clear. The consent portion of the business agenda is L2 through L7. There are two items that we are asking for separate votes on, L8 and then L9. Each of those will have a separate vote.
Okay. Mr. President, excuse me. I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items L2 through L7.
I'll second that, but I'll call them business items.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Spendrop?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Denzel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving to L8. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following resolution as stated below.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
And then, Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following resolution as stated below.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section M, personnel.
A lot of items before the board this evening for their consideration. The motion is M2 through M26. Most of the items are very routine in nature. It just so happens that May, springtime in schools, and especially May, is an incredibly busy time with regard to personnel. So that really is why there are so many items there. So we are working very hard. We know there are teachers all around the state are looking to move. We have staff members who are doing the same, and we are busy working to replace those staff members who are leaving.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M26.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I'll move to section N, donations.
Mr. President, a number of donations this evening, most of which are going to be going to our PBIS program. But we would like to thank all of those who have donated to the district for any particular needs they have. But we are certainly appreciative and grateful.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Ms. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Section N, any new business?
No, sir.
Second, public communication. Please check if I signed up. I move to section Q, executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 8.05 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee, and section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statute.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Based on our earlier conversation, the next meeting will be June 13th, at 7 p.m.
Yeah, Mr. Mason, I just want to, as I think about that, the June meeting is somewhat important. Typically for me, that's when final amended appropriations are put on for the end of the year, as well as temporary appropriations for the next year. So if possible, I don't know what everybody's schedules are, but if it's later in the month as opposed to earlier, would that be a possibility?
The 27th would be the next Tuesday. I could do that.
Unfortunately, that is one of the 2 weeks I'm scheduled to be out of town. So.
And I don't have a problem.
I can run the meeting on the 20th.
We just want to keep it.
Yeah, I apologize, but we'll try to plan these things around the existing board meetings if possible. But
no, I appreciate it. It's my change in schedule, so that's fine. We'll just
June 20th.
Keep it with the original June 20th, 7 p.m. here at the district meeting room.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. There will be no action taken after the executive session. Thank you.
This time we are in executive session.
We did take a roll. We had discussion.
Yeah.
Yes, we are in executive session. Thank you, Mr. Ross.